Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This week, our service looked a little different as we brought our worship to YouTube because of the precautions from the coronavirus. Please visit our YouTube channel to watch the service. A link can be found in the description or on our website at greystonechurch.org. Pastor Chrissy's sermon this week was titled Living with Xerophobia, and here's Pastor Chris with their scripture reading.
Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Well, here we are on this third week of Lent, once again gathering together for worship, for reading scripture, for singing songs, and joining our voices in prayer together. In the first week of Lent, we at Greystone read the story from Matthew's gospel about Jesus being tested in the wilderness, and we considered our fear of missing out on everything else when we follow God into those wilderness places. And yet, even as we examined the wilderness, as we considered Jesus' temptations, we were met with the promise that we're right where we need to be when we go to those places where God calls us. Last week, which was the second week in Lent, we studied the story of Nicodemus from John chapter 3, where he sits at Jesus' feet, face to face with the fear of uncertainty. And we were reminded of the promise that God will show us the way when we're willing to show up and to let go and to listen. And so here we are on this third week of Lent, reading once again from our sacred text, reading from Exodus chapter 17, and remembering the story of the Israelites as they traveled from captivity in Egypt into the hope of the promised land. And yet we remember that as they traveled, they found themselves trapped in a desert, in a dry place. And so today, considering that scripture and considering how God might be speaking to us, we remember the fear of dry places, and we search for the promise that God is indeed with us, even in the driest valley. They say that thirst is the most vulnerable human condition. One can survive weeks without food, but without water, the average person can only live for a few days. Without proper hydration, our bodies, they begin to feel tired, we get headaches, and even our mood changes. If we don't reach for water, at this point our mouths can become dry and sticky. Then we might become lightheaded, we may even pass out, and as things get worse, our breathing itself and our heart rates increase. We begin to feel extremely tired, maybe even confused, or perhaps a little bit cranky. It's scary to think about, and it makes us all that much more grateful for our easy access to clean water, pretty much anytime we want it or anytime we need it. although our basic human need for water does send us into a sort of panic or frenzy anytime there is a possibility that our water supply might be interrupted. Anytime a significant event poses a threat, we rush to the store and buy gallons of water, among a few other critical items. We act out in fear of what might become of us if we had to go without it for any amount of time. Now, some wouldn't call this acting in fear. Instead, they would say it's just plain old good sense, planning for the worst and yet hoping for the best. You see, those are the kinds of instincts that help us survive. They help us care for our families in times of trouble. They help us make sure that we do everything in our power to protect ourselves and to protect the communities that we live in. In times like these, fear lurks in our minds as we succumb to the reality that we are utterly human. In times like these, we recognize our weaknesses. We are aware of our limits, and we recognize our deep need for one another. Like many of our basic human instincts, our need for water can quickly evolve into anxiety and fear of what might become of us if we lost access to this most critical resource. In mild cases, we run to the store to stock up before the supply is gone, and we've seen those behaviors this week, haven't we? In extreme cases, though, we begin to live our whole lives from that place of fear, always needing reserves just in case, even if there's no real threat on the horizon. And when our unrealistic panic turns into long-standing fear, it has a clinical name when related to our thirst. It's called xerophobia. People who live with xerophobia, they have an active and life-altering fear of dryness, of dehydration, of deserts and other dry places. And this fear can cause panic and anxiety attacks, even physical illness for those who live with it. You know, it's interesting. Many of the symptoms of xerophobia mirror those physical symptoms of dehydration, rapid heartbeat, dryness of mouth, trembling and shortness of breath. Sometimes it's even impossible to distinguish between xerophobia and actual dehydration. People living with xerophobia will often avoid dry places like the desert. Because of their fear, they'll miss out on the experience and the exquisite beauty of some of the most beautiful dry places on earth. For those who've been lucky enough to visit some of those desert places, you know just how much we would miss out on if our fear were to prevent us from exploring those sun-scorched destinations. You know, throughout Christian history and all in our sacred texts, the desert itself is featured as a place of tremendous spiritual importance. In fact, it's almost a character in the Bible all its own. With its unwelcoming nature and its uncompromising environment, it is the very setting through which God leads Israel on their way from captivity to freedom. This is precisely the scene we are invited into today with the reading from Exodus. The desert is the location of Mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, where Moses goes to meet with God face to face. And the desert is the birthplace of the Ten Commandments. You may remember, the desert is also the place where Elijah flees when his life is in danger. And it is there in the desert on that mountain where he meets God in the sound of sheer silence. It seems like it might be the desert where God chooses to abide. But it took a while to figure that out, didn't it? The Israelites, they quarreled and they complained and they questioned the path to the promised land. They wondered if things wouldn't have been better if they had stayed in Egypt. At least there, they knew where their water was coming from. At least there, they didn't have to come to terms with their human thirst. But little did they know that God was lurking just around the corner, ready to give them all that they needed. It took them a while to figure that out. And I wonder if it won't take us a while to figure that out as well. Here we are in an unforeseen wilderness desert called coronavirus. It's not a wilderness that we have chosen. It's not a wilderness that we predicted, but nevertheless, here we are. Now, we might have seen the dust on the horizon as the disease began to spread from Asia to Europe. We might have recognized the drying out of the landscape as our lives here carried on as usual despite the news. Deeper and deeper into the desert we came as the first case entered our country, and then into the restaurants that are just up the road and around the corner, and then finally yesterday we learned into our school system. You see, many of us are still in shock as we look around at all the empty spaces and begin to cry out, is the Lord among us or not? Where are you, God, and why aren't you helping? And as we stand here in the midst of this new and unprecedented wilderness, there are so many things of which we are afraid. We're afraid of financial collapse. We're afraid of widespread illness. We're afraid of getting sick ourselves, and we're afraid that we might unknowingly pass it along to someone else. We're afraid of what might happen if we had kept conducting business as usual. And we're afraid of what might happen now that everything is shut down. Perhaps there truly is much to fear standing here in the midst of this new desert. You see, it might be tempting for us to respond in fear, which often presents like self-preservation, like rushing out to the store and buying up all the toilet paper. Perhaps our fear expresses itself as we try to cash in all of our investments and try to salvage whatever we can. Or maybe our fear has us filling up our pantries and hunkering down. Or maybe our fear has us in denial, pretending like there is nothing to be afraid of at all. While all these seem like somewhat logical fears in a time like this, all of them are born out of our own spiritual xerophobia, our fear of a dry and wilderness place. You see, we don't want to go into the wilderness. We don't want to go into any kind of wilderness because there, in those driest places, our humanity is pushed to its limits. Everything is out of our control, and we have to come face to face with the fragility of our human condition. It is an uncomfortable place, to be sure. And as we face this uncomfortable wilderness as individuals, the very institution which teaches us to have faith in the face of fear also faces its own unforeseen wilderness. The church itself, which is all about bringing people together, serving up bread and wine, offering a hand with the passing of the peace, and offering a caring embrace to those whom society has deemed untouchable, that church this week has been instructed to close her doors. She's been instructed to stop doing the very thing that we are called to do. Close it down. Cancel all the gatherings. Tell your people to stay home. And so we have. And looking out beyond the camera here today, I see yet another wilderness. One where empty pews are in the place of dry sand. One where a spotlight shines instead of the hot, scorching sun. In this place, on a day like today, the words from those thirsty Israelites take on a whole new meaning. Is the Lord among us or not? And then I'm reminded that when we step back from this moment, the one we read about in Exodus chapter 17, we can see the bigger picture revealing a God that is teaching the Israelites the most central promise of their desert journey. God is with you, even here, even now. God is with you as you walk through the driest valley. God is with you when you cannot find a drop of living water. God is with you between Egypt and Canaan. God is with you when you long for the days of the past. God is with you even when you wonder if God has abandoned you. God is with you when you cry out in thirst. God is with you always, ready to provide water from even the most unassuming rock. This week we have seen small drops of hope-filled water coming even from this desert. Even as the building is closed for now, we are learning, much like our Israelite ancestors, that God never did reside here in this building. God does not reside here. God is not contained by our walls, but God resides amongst our people. And so we have seen drops of hope-filled water as deacons made phone calls to church members, listening to their fears, their anxieties, and offering support. We have seen drops of hope-filled water as communities pledged to support food banks in all new ways, just to make sure that no child has to go hungry while school cafeterias are closed down. We have seen drops of hope-filled water as all of us begin to do our part to insist that social distancing does not mean absolute isolation. And we have seen hope-filled water as creativity begins to flow forth, offering flexibility and generosity and understanding in places we never imagined possible. In this season of shutting down and staying home, there is a holy new creation that is bursting forth within us and around us and among us. Perhaps it's time that we finally learned not to fear the wilderness, but to face it bravely together, knowing that God is, in fact, here with us, even now, even here, in this very moment. God is here with us in this wilderness, waiting for us to recognize that new creation is bursting forth from a desert rock. Amen.